we've talked a lot on this program about breakthrough infections of COVID-19 for people who are vaccinated. Many of you have called this program and said that you had a breakthrough infection or people you know have. And it's made a lot of us think about what risks we should or shouldn't be taking, what protections we should be instilling in ourselves and others. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. Dr. Dhruv Kular is a physician and assistant professor of health policy and economics at Weill Cornell Medical College, and a contributor to The New Yorker. And he wrote an in-depth piece in The New Yorker headlined, "Have You Already Had a Breakthrough COVID Infection?" The question of what, quote, infection means is just one of the riddles posed by the late stage pandemic. And Dr. Dhruv Kular joins me right now. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
So I really liked your piece a lot because it weighed so much that I had seen elsewhere, other things I hadn't seen elsewhere. We're getting information from so many different places, and some of the media just kind of pulls out surfacey or, I don't know, sensational or just limited information and doesn't really give us the full picture. And so, you know, you went through it and you talked to other researchers. And I also liked that you then talked about your personal, your own personal behavior later in the piece, because it kind of like let us go through it slowly. So I want to kind of do that too with
yeah,
you.
So
breakthrough infection really got a lot of attention after the outbreak in Provincetown. And the, you know, way that we saw a place that had a high vaccination rate suddenly have a high number of infections, few hospitalizations, no deaths. But it really, you know, raised the issue of breakthrough infection and made a lot of people rethink changing their attitudes, the CDC, others, masks for vaccinated people. Tell us more about how that moment and that event kind of reshaped this issue.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's a really complicated issue. And I think people kind of want, you know, a specific number of what my breakthrough infection risk is if I've been vaccinated. And one of the points of the article is that it's really hard to come to an estimate of the risk that we face after being vaccinated and getting infected. And the reason for that is that the studies that we have right now, they suffer from a number of issues. And I like to think about the three Ds. There's definition, denominators, and delta. And so the first issue is this idea of definition. What even is a breakthrough infection? And right now we talk about breakthrough infections kind of as an all or nothing proposition. Either you got infected or you didn't. But there's a lot of gray area in there, actually. You know, we may actually be exposed to the virus. A little bit might get into our nose, but our immune system, because it's so well prepared by vaccination, captures it. We may actually get a mild infection and quickly tamp down it so we can't pass it on to other people. Or in some rare cases, vaccinated people can get infected and have significant illness, but we know that that's much, much less likely when you've been when you've been vaccinated as compared to when you haven't. So the first issue is this idea of definition. What is a breakthrough infection? And the second is denominators. And so the reason that denominator becomes important is because, you know, we hear about, you know, there were X many cases in Provincetown or Y over here, but we actually rarely know how many people were involved. And so the CDC study that you talked about in Provincetown found something like 400 or 500 breakthrough cases. You know, 3/4 were among vaccinated people, which sounded concerning. At the same time, there were more than 60,000 people there. And we actually don't know how many of those people were exposed and what level of exposure they had. And so for the average person walking on the street, it's very hard to know exactly what your risk is. And then the third problem is Delta. And Delta has really changed the game. You know, the CDC slides, when they were leaked, you know, they're published in the Washington Post, and they said the war has changed. And the reason for that is that we know that Delta is much, much more infectious than prior variants like Alpha, more infectious than the virus that originally came out of Wuhan. And so a lot of the data that we're working off actually is pre-Delta data, it's Alpha data, or it's even prior to Alpha data. And so those are the challenges that we really face. But I think one take-home message is we may see an uptick, I think, in breakthrough infections, whether that's because immunity is waning for some people who got vaccinated a long time ago or the Delta variant. But really, the vaccines are still very, very good at preventing severe disease and hospitalization.
A couple of questions about what you just talked about and some of sure. those points. When you talk about defining breakthrough, as you pointed out, that's a very interesting question. And I think one of the researchers you interviewed said it was almost a philosophical question. Like, if you get right. If you get exposed to the virus as somebody with who has been vaccinated and your body is fighting it off, there might be virus detected in your nose if you took a test, but does that mean you've been infected or that you're fighting off the infection? That's a big question.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, the researcher I spoke with had a really nice metaphor, which was a lot of people think of vaccination as building a wall or a force field, and viruses are kind of bouncing off it and aren't able to get through, and eventually they break through that wall. But that's actually not the right way to think about it. The right way to think about it is a meeting of two armies. You know, the human immune system is an army, and the virus, the number of the viral particles that are coming at you, are a different army. And so it's really a give and take between these two armies. And if you're exposed to a huge amount of virus, like you're in a, you know, packed inside a sweaty bar or club and everyone's got coronavirus in there, that viral army is going to be huge and it's going to be potent. But if you've been vaccinated, that prepares your army. And so it's really a meeting of these two armies. Occasionally, some of the virus might slip through. And in the best cases, the vaccine prepares your body to deal with that quickly. And so maybe you call that an infection, but if it doesn't cause illness, if you don't pass to anyone else, if you happen to have some virus that's picked up in your nose, you know, that's why it's a little bit of a philosophical question there. And so I think that's the distinction the researcher was trying to make.
And the whole Provincetown outbreak, I really was, you know, glad to see the way that you described Provincetown, and that gets to the point of the amount of virus surrounding you. I've spent a lot of time in Provincetown, have gone mm-hmm. up there years. I have friends there, and I have friends who were there and got the breakthrough infection during that time. And it is a place where it's a party town during the summer, and the places are packed, and if it is raining and everybody goes in from even the outdoor pool deck into the bars, particularly the tea dance, that's, you know, every afternoon, I mean, you're on top of each other. And mm-hmm. you know, it's that's just how it is. And then you're there for days and days and days. It's your vacation. And I also know some friends who had breakthrough, who went to Fire Island. They were in piano bars singing with people on top of them. I had another friend who was in a casino. I mean, these are all very specific kind of environments.
That's right. And they're not necessarily the typical environment. They're special environments. And, you know, I think we don't want to blame people for putting themselves in those positions. We've told people as a public health community, when you're vaccinated, you're largely safe, which is true. But the risk of, one thing people should know is that the risk of breakthrough infection, it really increases. There's kind of three big variables I think about. The first is antibody affinity. And so how well is your body prepared to kind of recognize the virus as it's entering? And this is when people worry about immune evasive variants. That's what they're worried about. A new variant might have a different footprint that's harder to capture. The second is your antibody level. So how many antibodies do you have? initially that spikes up over time, maybe 6 months, 9 months down the line, that might be a little bit lower than it was right at the beginning. But the third is a huge one, which is the point that you're making, which is viral dose. You know, we think about medication dose, but there's also a way to think about viral dose. And so if you're exposed to huge amounts of the virus, not just passing by someone in a store, or, you know, you're out camping and someone at your campsite happens to have, you know, COVID. But if you're packed in a place where people have COVID and you're very close and you're screaming and yelling and singing and enjoying yourself, that creates an environment where you're exposed to a very high viral dose. And one of the researchers I spoke to said, you know, P-Town in particular was an environment that few vaccines, whether for COVID or other illnesses, could overcome. And so there is something to be said about, you know, putting creating an environment in which there's very high levels of viral exposure.
And in that sense, it passed the test in terms of, you know, there was breakthrough, but most people had a mild illness. But to your point, in that environment, you have a lot of people who are vaccinated. You have some who are unvaccinated who might have COVID. You also look at some research that, you know, in the beginning, it was kind of reported that people who are vaccinated and have a breakthrough case are as transmissible or as infectious as those who are unvaccinated and have COVID. And that doesn't seem to be the case from some of the research.
That's exactly right. So initially, the finding that was a little bit alarming was the people that had been vaccinated, had not been vaccinated, when they looked in their nose and they did the PCR test, there seemed to be similar levels of virus. And so people thought, okay, maybe that means that, you know, you're just as likely to spread it. But subsequent research has found that even if the initial level, you know, on that day one, is the same or similar between vaccinated and unvaccinated people, it falls much more rapidly if you're vaccinated. And this gets at the idea of the immune system is prepared. And so it springs into action very quickly. And so instead of high levels of virus lingering around in your body, you shedding that virus to others, your friends and family over days or weeks, that falls very rapidly in vaccinated people. So it seems unlikely that vaccinated people are just as likely to spread the virus compared to unvaccinated people.
So in a bar that's packed and where there might be vaccinated people, there might be unvaccinated people, and everybody's, you know, on top of each other and everybody's having fun, versus going to a restaurant where they check for vaccinations, where you have to be vaccinated, where you have to wear your mask until you sit down, where the seats are spaced, those may be two different levels of risk.
Very, very different levels of risk. And I think that's one of the take home points. And I think, you know, it's not that we can never go back to that first point where you're packed inside at a concert or a basketball game or something like that. I think that will be possible, but kind of in the middle of a Delta like variant surge, or a time when there's high levels of viral circulation in your city or your state, that type of thing is certainly much, much riskier than outdoor activities or even activities that are indoors, but well ventilated and more spaced out.
So places like Los Angeles have instituted mask mandates indoors for everyone, vaccinated or not. In New York, the mayor has focused more on getting more people vaccinated. A high level of, you know, high percentage of people have been vaccinated and hasn't called for mask mandates. But most people, at least from what I see, are wearing their masks indoors. And if someone isn't and you're wearing your mask, you feel like, well, I feel protected. Is that a better way to go?
You know, there is a certain social pressure when you're in an environment where everyone else is wearing masks and you feel like you should be wearing masks as well. You know, one thing that the mayor has announced is that, you know, coming up very soon, actually, you will not be able to enter gyms or restaurants or go to Broadway shows unless you show proof of vaccination.
Yeah, and so, and they're already doing that already. Yeah, a lot of them exactly. Are already doing it.
Exactly. So when I'm going out to dinner, I have to take that card or show it on my phone at least. And I think that has two effects. One is that people who go to those establishments, either tourists or people who live here, they can feel quite a bit more safe that people around them are vaccinated are much less likely to be infected, and if they are infected, much less likely to be spreading the virus. But second, it actually increases the rate at which people who aren't vaccinated will consider getting vaccinated, because people want to engage in these activities, and so it has that secondary effect where you may increase the rates of vaccination in the community, which keeps everyone safe.
We have a lot of people call the show who, they come from every perspective, and most people who are listening to this program have been vaccinated. They are protecting themselves and others, and some have, as I said, had breakthrough infection. But we do get people who have not been vaccinated and are opposed to vaccines and have made arguments against them. And I've had to rebut some of the conspiracies or untrue things. They bring up breakthrough, and you hear this too, as a reason. Well, you still get COVID-19. How do you address that to the vaccine hesitant people?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things to say on this point. I think it's true that it's possible to get COVID-19. And it's possible to get even a severe case of COVID-19, but it is vastly less likely to happen after you're vaccinated as compared to not being vaccinated. The second is, your ability to transmit the virus to friends and families and colleagues is so much lower when you're vaccinated. So even if you're not doing it for yourself, you may want to do it for the people around you. And the third is, one thing that I think is really important for listeners to understand is that, the rate of breakthrough infection will increase, and it should increase as more people get vaccinated. So a simple thing to think about is, if no one is vaccinated, then there can be no breakthrough infections, zero infections or breakthrough infections. If everyone is vaccinated, 100% or 99% of people are vaccinated, all infections are breakthrough infections. So as the rate, you have to calibrate the rate of breakthrough infection based on the level of vaccination in an area. And just because there's more breakthrough infections doesn't mean that the vaccines aren't working. It just means that, there's so many people that are vaccinated now that by chance, some of those people will get infected. And most of the time when they do get infected, they have much a less severe illness than they otherwise would have.
Now, I go to the gym. They now ask for vaccination. Soon it will be mandatory. But I still wear my mask. But maybe sometimes if I'm alone and it's a very large space, I might not wear it in the corner or whatever. I still wear my mask in any store or anything like that. Reading your article, it made me feel more informed about the decisions I'm making. And then I came to your decisions, and you said, and after reading it, I thought you would be not wearing your mask as much, but you're actually wearing your mask while you're working and taking more precautions. And you make the point that it's kind of better safe than sorry.
I think that's right. Having reviewed all the data on breakthrough infections, do I feel like I'm at high risk, or most people are at high risk for severe illness or even long COVID after they're vaccinated? No. How onerous I find wearing a mask or being a little bit more careful is not a big deal to me. And so I would rather take that precaution than even a relatively small risk, at least right now. We're in the midst of a huge surge. There are hospitals filling up in a lot of parts of this country. There's very high rates of infection going on, predominantly among unvaccinated people, but some vaccinated people as well. And so during this time, I think better part of valor is to take a little bit extra precautions, eat outside if it's just as easy to do so as compared to eating inside, or wearing your mask when you're in a public place. My hope is we've seen in places like Israel or places like Great Britain, in India, the Delta variant usually rips through the population over the course of a month or 2 months, and then it starts to subside. I imagine that will happen here as well. We're already seeing kind of the infection, that daily cases plateau a bit. And my hope is that it'll start to come down and we'll be in a different place in a month from now.
Really great to have you on the program and talk about this. I know a lot of people will get a lot from it and feel informed, and a great piece in The New Yorker. I urge people to go and read it. Thank you for coming on today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Dr. Dhruv Kular is somebody you can follow on Twitter at @DhruvKhullar and read his article in The New Yorker. We're back in a few minutes.
The Michelangelo Signorelli Show.